one of my favorite books of all time is Grand Adventures in Missing the Point. This book takes you on various journeys of missing the point of what education is supposed to do. It takes you on a grand adventure of missing the point of what real leadership is. A grand adventure on missing the point of marriage in our society. And our friend in the drama is on a grand adventure in missing the point of self-change, isn't she? Well, in our study in the book of James, where we are at, James wants to make sure that you and I do not go on a grand adventure in missing the point of what religion is. So I thought we should determine if this is actually a possibility in our world today. Are there folks who are on a grand adventure of missing the point of religion? So I need some feedback from you. What do your friends, and I want to know what your friends say, not you. I want to know what your friends, what your coworkers, what the people you rub shoulders with say is the point of religion. What is the purpose and what is the reason for religion today? Give me some feedback on this. Is there any little hand raising? Oh, Mr. Darrell. It's a crutch. Something to lean on to help get you through a bad time. Just a little something like that. Well, I think I'm going to see a lot more hands shortly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, everybody got an answer. Oh, Johnny got one now. Yeah. New drums and a candy bar? I don't know, buddy. I don't know. What do your friends say is the point of religion? Luke.
To get attention. To get attention?
What kind of attention? Oh, so people are religious to get attention? They think that's kind of a cool thing or something that's going to draw attention to them? Oh, come on, get your candy bar here, son. That sounds good. I'll take that. Who else? What do people say? Mr. Drew, there I go to the back of the room. What are people saying is the point of religion? Oh. Mr. Darrell, would you get that back to Mr. Drew? Ever heard that?
Yeah.
People, that's the point of religion. That's what some people say, right? So maybe James is on track here when he's saying, hey, don't miss the point of what religion is, what he's going to teach us tonight. I'll take one more from this side of the room. And right there, Miss Jenny.
To explain our existence.
Yeah, the point of religion to is explain our existence. You don't want the candy bar? Oh, you
do?
Oh, atta girl. There you go. All right. Yeah, I agree. There are a lot of ideas that people have for what the point of religion is, and we can even have them here at Westbridge. So we're going to see what this study says. Let's look at James, and we're going to go back. This message is 2 weeks old. It's actually been cured for 2 weeks because we had a snowstorm. So let's look at James chapter 1, starting at verse 26, and we'll go through 27. I know Mr. McRae took care of part of chapter 2, but this kind of stands on its own here. Let's see what James has to say. We're going to read this in two different versions. The Message, and then I believe NIV. Here's what James says. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air, and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this. Reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world. Let's take that same passage from the NIV. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. And their religion is, read that for me.
Worthless.
James, Jesus' little brother. This kid was rough. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being, read it for me, by the world. I love James. I love the book of James. Mr. McRae put us onto this, and I am loving it, because James tells it straight, puts it right there, street level for us. James is indicating that there are folks who already, in his day and age, were on a grand adventure in missing the point of religion. Now, first, I would like for us to examine this word that he uses for religion. The word James uses is this, thraiskaia, thraiskaia, okay? It's an interesting word, and it means religion. That's how we translate it, okay? It's used four times in the Bible. Three times it's translated as religion, and once it is translated as worshiping. The definition of thraiskaia is this. Religious worship as pertains to the external, that which consists of ceremonies, the liturgy, the rituals, and the practices. This word, thraiskaia, is talking about the formal ceremonial practices of one's faith, what we call the sacraments. You may be more familiar with that word. Now, the Jews of Jesus' day, their thraiskaia, their sacraments, were like the ritual of Passover, the practice of circumcision. These are the outward signs, the rituals they went through, the annual reading of the Torah. These were the spiritual things, the religious things they did. And guess what? We have thraiskaia today, don't we? We have religious sacraments today. I think we would consider our water baptism an outward sign, a ritual, a ceremony that we do. Our Good Friday ceremonies, our communion that we do, the Lord's Supper, and even baby dedication, which you'll see next week, by the way. Different churches and different denominations have varying sacraments. And James stops his readers and he says, wait a minute, let me tell you what our religious practices should be. James says, let me tell you what a religious ritual should look like. Let me tell you what thraiskaia is, and let me also tell you what it is not. Because some of us, James is saying, may be on a grand adventure of missing the point of what Christianity is. First, James says this. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air, and only hot air. NIV. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Here James says this. Basically, he's saying, you want a real religious practice? Do you want to know what a real sacrament to God is? Do you want to know what a godly ritual looks like? Let me tell you what a godly practice is. Controlling the way you talk. Guarding your tongue. That's a religious ritual. On your chart, you have true religion on one side and worthless religion on the other. The answer that James is pointing out is this. True religion is controlling your tongue. Worthless religion is talking spiritual talk. James is pointing a finger at the folks who talk all the spiritual talk. He says, that is not thraiskaia. That is not religion, and that is not worship. These are the ones, James says, that he must have seen who memorize the scripture and then don't do any of it. The ones who say, praise your Lord to your face, but then gossip behind your back. Those who go to a prayer meeting and then come home and curse at their spouse. James says, anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air, worthless religion, no spiritual ritual at all, godless, godly practice. On the other hand, James says, a true liturgy, an acceptable ceremony to God would be control the way you talk. Not speaking evil of someone when you really want to. Real liturgy. True religion is not flying off at the handle verbally at a loved one. That's religion. Not speaking curtly and tersely to people we meet throughout our day. That is an outward ceremony to God. That, James says, is true worship. James says, that's thraiskeia. And church, don't miss the point. Second statement of James is this. Real religion, the kind that passes the muster before God the Father, is this. Reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight. On your outline, you could put a second one down there. True religion is being charitable. True religion is being charitable. Worthless religion, as James used the word, your worthless religion, is ignoring people's needs. Ignoring them. I love what David Roper wrote. David Roper wrote this. Holiness has to do with the small stuff in life. Doing things in secret and in silence. He means good things. Quiet, unpretentious deeds done out of the way are an essential practice of godliness. These great acts of virtue are rarely hard to do, yet are often left undone by the church. These unheralded acts that no one sees are the greatest deeds of all and are what true religion is made of. I think Mr. Roper is right on. It's this practical service to mankind that is so honoring to God. James is saying to the church, don't miss the point here, church. We're here to help those in their hour of need. We're not talking about enabling people's dysfunction. That's a story for another day. But helping people through their special crises. Lastly, James says this. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows in their distress, which we've mentioned, and to keep one's self from being polluted by the world. Now, this last one, I talked a lot about this several weeks ago in the Man in the Mirror message. But I want to say this. As we walk through this world, gang, we will see evil and we will see filth. We will hear evil and we will hear filth. There is no way around it if you're going to walk this earth the way God intends us to. But I want to compare this to a plate, a dinner plate. A plate that the world we live in fills for us. They fill this dinner plate for you, and it is filled with filth, but it is also filled with good things. And you and I must, through the power of God, the Holy Spirit that is placed inside of us, we must decide what we will eat on that plate. We decide between eating the filth and fueling our lives on filth, or we decide to eat just the good and push back on the filth. And then, after we finish that plate, like a true fireman, you go back for a second plate. And you decide what you're going to fill it with this time. Are you going to fill it with filth? Or are you going to fill it with more goodness and take that in? We decide what we will refill our plate with. James says that we deceive ourselves and thinking that religious ceremonies that we participate in are what pleases God. James says the religious ceremony that pleases God is you and me scraping the filth off of our plates and going and filling up on what's pure. Filling up on what's wholesome that God has given us in this life. So to finish our chart on what thraiskeia is and what it isn't, true religion is pure heart, a wholesome life. Worthless religion is a life of darkness filling you, impurity being something that you take in and make something you feed on. God wants you and I to strive to have hearts that are white as snow. Unsoiled hearts. Yes, there'll be filth, but always that we walk through. But don't let that in. Don't feed on that. Instead, keep yourself clean with a ferocity. You know, there's an animal called an ermine. If you've ever heard of an ermine, I have a picture we can show you. This is what an ermine. It lives in the forests of northern Europe and Asia. Yeah. It's an animal that is known for its white as snow fur. The ermine instinctively protects his white coat against anything that would soil it. His fur is so fine, and there's nothing more beautiful on the fur markets in the world. In some countries, they have the robes of judges that are lined in this white because it's so pure. And it's emblematic of purity and honor. And the ermine will protect that white coat at any cost. So what fur hunters do, they don't set a snare to catch an ermine. Instead, they found a better way to do it, to catch them. They find the ermine's home, which is usually a cleft in a rock or a hollow of a tree. And they smear the entrance and they smear the interior with grime and filth. And then the hunters, they let their dogs loose. And the dogs chase the ermines that run back towards their home. And when the ermine comes to its home and sees the filth, refuses to enter, and they're caught. Rather than soil his white coat, he will allow himself to be trapped, preserving the purity of that white fur. For the ermine, purity is more precious than anything. And that ermine sets a powerful example for you and me. That crazy little ferret puts a high value, about as high as you can possibly have, on purity. God wants you and I to do that too. That, James says, keeping your heart pure, not feeding on the filth of this world, but living wholesome. That is true worship. That is as awesome a ceremony as you can present to God. That is a true spiritual ritual, not what we might think in missing the point. James wrote, anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. That kind of religion is hot air, and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from this godless world. I pray that you and I, Westbridge, would not miss the point of what religion is. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you for bringing us here tonight, allowing us to have tonight with good weather. And I pray, Lord, that we would be challenged. Lord, maybe there's times that we've missed the point. Maybe we talk about God and we know scriptures that we can tell people, but we don't control our tongue at all and speak unkindly in words that displease you. Help us to learn to control our tongue in a way that pleases you and that you see as true outward sign of religion. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have hearts that want to give, to help those who need a helping hand when trouble hits. Being charitable, not those who walk by those who are in need with a healthy satisfaction that we're on our way to heaven and ignore the need. And lastly, Lord, let us be people who strive to keep our hearts pure, white as snow. Let us not be a church that is indifferent to filth, that feed on it and fill our plates with it. Instead, let us strive for what is wholesome and what is right, and what pleases you. Leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for being here tonight. Now, I want to just ask if you could help us at the end of the night here, pick up the chairs. We can get out of here in an hour that's good for the school and good for us. So it would be great to have any kind of help you can give us. We'll see you next Saturday night, 7 o'clock, no snow. and we'll continue in the book of James. Have a great night, everybody.